I think something that's very tempting is when there's a lot of chaos to try to come to a fast answer. And I notice this especially with Gen Z. It's my crew. I get to represent the oldest Gen Z. Woo! I think some of it's social media, some of it's bigger, I think, than just that. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure to arrive at fast answers. What I talked about with my students last year, it was so interesting to unpack, is creativity also involves tech, IT, STEM field. You know, you think about combining things for something new. I also think recreativity, I tend to say it like that, but the ability to fix, the ability to mend, all of that. Like if you're trying to fix healthcare, you need some creativity on board in a good way, right? And so it's not as straight, because I think sometimes too, it becomes tricky when, yeah, some people are like, well, that applies to me or that doesn't apply to me. It's like, nah, this whole thing of like, how do you engage with life?
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
And I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And we are delighted to be welcoming Sarah Shaw back to the podcast. She has been on our show several times before, and it is always a delight to have her on. But we are particularly delighted this time around because she is announcing a brand new project of hers that is just launching that you guys are really going to want to hear about.
It's a fun project, it's a fun conversation, and it's a fun story about how the project came into existence from kind of starting and then basically dying and then being resurrected again. And so if you're interested in what she's doing, it's great. But if you're interested in how projects have a life of their own, this is an interesting conversation as well. So we hope you enjoy hearing from Sarah again and about her brand new project called Lantova. Sarah Shaw, welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I was thinking as the countdown timer was running, is this the second or third time that we've had you on?
I was just thinking, if we count technical difficulties, maybe four, but we're going to say three.
We don't count those. We're pretty high.
Yeah. So
if we tried to keep count, then that would drive us insane.
Yeah, and it's my Wi-Fi that is responsible, listeners.
Yeah, we're not really sure what Sarah does, the technology stuff, but whenever she comes on, it does get really interesting. On this particular one, it was really fun. I couldn't hear it at all. So it's super fun to do a podcast when you can't hear the guest. That just gives lots of room for interpretation.
Exactly.
But we can hear now, and we are back with Sarah, and we have a pretty interesting story. And so, Sarah, we're going to ask you to tell that story here in a second, but maybe just some quick background. Sarah is an Unbound alum, and Sarah's the kind of Unbound alum that we enjoy saying that because we feel like every time we say it, it's going to get cooler and cooler as the years go by. So we're pretty happy to claim her. But Sarah and I, I'm sure we met before, but got to know each other really well at an event we did years and years ago called the Great Art Project. And we rented a cabin up in the Smoky Mountains. We had about, 40 people, 30 people, something like that, Sarah. And we did a bunch of different stuff. It was really cool. It was pivotal. We had a tremendous amount of leadership and creativity come out of that and lots of ongoing conversations. And for Sarah and I, those conversations kind of got into a pattern of every couple months just kind of getting together and sharing some ideas. Until 2019, where both Sarah and I, as well as some other folks, including Victoria, who's often on this podcast, were in a place where we were all trying to think of doing something different. And so Sarah and Victoria and I met several times, and we kind of kicked around a bunch of ideas, a lot of which was around storytelling and kind of a content development and those kinds of things. And out of that, we came up, when I say we, I believe that should be correctly interpreted as Sarah came up with a name called Lantova. And we kind of started this project, and we were all excited about it. And then the wheels came off. There's no other way to say it, right? I got interested in this little project called Unbound. Victoria got caught up in that as well. Sarah was ended up going to graduate school. And so, you know, it kind of lay there. And then we got excited about it. And about the time it just got just a little bit of a nudge of motion, it just died. And it remained dead until a year or so ago when Sarah picked it up, took it all by herself. So just to be clear, all credit for all the development of this project is Sarah. She picked up this idea and it's turned into something that's really cool and just launched recently. So with that as background, Sarah, tell us what, I believe the website is lantova.com. So tell us what Lantova, L-A-N-T-O-V-A, lantova.com is. So take it and tell us, Sarah, what have you done with this thing?
Hey, that's so good. No, it's true. And it's funny, like even hearing the synopsis of the story, I think somewhere in there, we had a phone call and you used a phrase like, I put the idea down for a nap, which I don't know if you remember saying this.
Which is a euphemism for we put it to sleep. But
you know, maybe it's biblical. It's sleeping, yeah, you know.
It was down for a nap that needed a resurrection to get it up from, which is what Sarah provided later. Yeah,
that's it. But it's interesting because I actually dug through some of our old documents because I was kind of curious, like, what was the original brainstorming? And this leads up to what Lantova has actually become, which is kind of fascinating. Because when we were kicking it around, it was a lot of storytelling, creativity, and theology kind of, you know, woven together. And so it was really, if I had to put it in two buckets, it was really creativity and theology. And we, you know, we talked around a bunch of ideas and stuff. And then, because I had graduated in 2019, worked on this with you guys over the summer into the fall. And then it was interesting because when it died, I was kind of like, oh, what on earth do I do with myself? So I actually like nannied and was doing an interior tiling job before starting grad school. And grad school only came about because of COVID. So funny how the redirects work. But I bring all that up because I put the idea to sleep, still cared a lot about it, but did not want to launch it alone. That was something I found really interesting as I prayed about it and thought about it, is I just felt like people were missing if I launched it alone. And then I started up grad school, and because of my nannying experience, I did a master's in clinical mental health counseling and wanted to work as a therapist for kids. And yeah, Lantova was kind of like gone. Like I thought about the name every once in a while during that degree because I was like, maybe it'll be like a book. Or I'll make it like a fictional country of something. But every time I tried to touch the name, I felt like Lord was like, hey, don't touch that. I'm like, okay.
I was going to say, upon hearing that name, it does sound like something that right. is just like, oh, that's a country in one of Tolkien's extended works. That's
exactly.
something I would hear in the Silmarillion.
It was something definitely lost in the mist. We'll give it yes. that much. Yeah, it was a bit of a, you know, what do you call this? Like Atlantis, like lost. It was one of those lost civilizations, right? So we kind of stumbled on it, David, and we sort of glimpsed it through the clouds, and then the currents pulled us away, and Victoria and I never came back. But Sarah kept looking. So
the storytelling vision here is already incredible. I love this.
Yeah, well, you can see where we're going with this. Yeah,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Unfortunately, Sarah made it a little more practical along the way. So.
It's great, but it was so interesting because I tried to repurpose it for some stuff and I just felt like Laura's like, don't touch it. I'm like, what do you want me to do with it? And I just silenced. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll keep doing my master's degree and keep it moving. But what's interesting, so I went through that whole process and then a lot of what kind of kickstarted this project's resurrection was actually doing talks at Unbound events. So it started with Basecamp. Oh, let me do our timeline right. The first base camp, that's key, of 2024? Yes, because it was the beach. Last time we were at the beach, that's all I remember. I did like a 3-part talk on resilience. That's actually where I met the chunk of our team, which is really kind of funny.
Base camp 2024, which would have been at Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Yeah.
Was almost a reprise of GAP in the sense that it was kind of one of those things where all the people were in a lot of the key people that are working on Lantova now were all in one place at one time for that. Yep.
It's true. It's where I met Alana and Ben, Isabella and Lucian. So
is that everybody?
That's almost everybody. Excluding Tama and Jules that were other Unbound events. But it was just really funny. So it was like that talk. And then it was particularly the keynote at Apex of 2024. And that talk and I came up with the line. I was like, this is really cool. It came through like talking with the Lord and praying about what to address at Apex and just got this line from him that was like, if it is not good, it is not the end. And I was like, that's a long talk title, but we'll go for it. And it was really beautiful to see. I taught the art track last year for you guys. And it was really beautiful to see how that just sort of became this thing that would pop up a bunch. I heard it referenced and I was like, whoa, this is interesting. But long story short, in terms of what Lantova started as old school, and Jonathan, I found the old photos of us at your house. So we might have to feature that somewhere. It's great. It's great. We have a whiteboard and your hands are in the air with shock. So it's on brand.
Probably because somebody was trying to read what I wrote on the whiteboard is what was happening. So, yeah.
But what I think is cool is, like, we were talking about creativity and theology, and what I felt get woven in that was really, it was giving these talks. And in these talks, I wove together creativity, theology, but I added psychology because of doing that master's degree and just what I had processed. And so when it came time to actually, it was after Apex that I felt kind of the nudge to, like, hey, it's time to wake this thing back up. And I was like, but it's dead. What are you talking about? We could do something else, because this is not what it was almost six years ago, you know? But that's where it has actually landed. And I think it's so fascinating to me, because I absolutely see our original idea in it. Like, it's there. And yet it's taken a very different shape, and it's completely added in a third discipline, as we would call it, right? Because it's just like a whole different area of study.
Yeah, and a third discipline that is, should be noted, that you had no experience in when we first talked about it. You know, like, so
no.
A third discipline that is a complete new set of content. So just from a, first of all, for listeners, if you're listening here, let's be really clear on this. So we had several half dozen meetings that we had a lot of fun talking about a bunch of things. And then we did some work. We actually built some websites. We had some websites live for a little bit. We authored some content, but it was all kind of in the, we weren't publicizing, weren't marketing it originally. And then it, as we mentioned, it all kind of, you know, it took a nap. It starved to death is what really happened. And then, you know, 6 years later, Sarah picked it back up. And so there's some fascinating things just to note there. First of all, for those of you who have an idea, good ideas tend to be good ideas. They just, but good ideas in and of themselves are not enough. There's that element of timing that no matter what anybody tells you is beyond human control. And so there's just something to be noted here that, you know, there's lots and lots of great ideas that didn't work because the timing was wrong. And you can have a lot of control over the idea, you can have a lot of control over the execution, but you rarely have control over the timing. So there's an interesting aspect here of endurance, of timing, of sort of, you know, the right time. But then it's also worth noting that with that timing, and as Christians would say, with God's timing, you know, I don't know. It clearly, whether it was timing or something else, the two elements weren't enough for this to be a really great idea. But when you put the third element in, then it became a much better idea. Well, that third element didn't exist when we started. Sarah picked that up in between with her work, both as she finished graduate school and actually having real in-the-field experience and working in clinical psychology and counseling. And so all of a sudden now this piece is snapped together and it works. So I think just from for those of you listening who have tried something and didn't work, or tried something and failed, or tried something and went in a different direction, it's worth hearing a story of not so much endurance, but more timing than anything else. But then Sarah, so now that you said that, so it's creativity, theology, psychology, and the psychology part is probably maybe needs a little explanation, but tell us about Lantova. So, you know, you can go to lantova.com. Obviously, link will be in the show notes. You can read about it there. But Sarah, tell us what we'll find there. Why would somebody want to go to lantova.com? What will they find?
Yeah. Why would you want to go? It looks really cool. At risk
it
of
does
being
have
completely
a pretty
biased.
Decent. Yeah, it does have a pretty decent graphic designer behind it. She's very, very modest, but yeah.
So modest. Does cool. She doesn't self-promote whatsoever. No, it's really cool. I mean, it's been so interesting because we've hashed this out as a team, because in some ways, you know, usually I feel like I want to say, like, the business advice I read in school was you identify a problem and you name it super, super clearly, and then you come up with a solution. You know, that's kind of the 5-minute university version of business. And what we did was kind of interesting is we noticed a phenomenon, basically, that when we did, it's called interdisciplinary work. So when you combine disciplines, and that's kind of in the academic sense. So that's why we do, like, theology, psychology, creativity. Combine them because it's interdisciplinary. You look at something through multiple lenses. And we found that when we talked about things like resilience, obviously that's kind of where this started at base camp, navigating the past, thinking about purpose and creativity. I got to do a lot of this with the art track last year and loved it, you know, about, like, how do you create in a meaningful way and lead through your art really well. By looking at these different questions through that interdisciplinary lens, I found that it just opens up people's hearts to, that sounds kind of corny, but it's really true. Like, it opens people up to a new way of thinking about something or seeing something that's actually practical and helpful. And I also, some of this is like experiential in that we went out, we almost field tested. And it's funny because this is like, if you study a lot of scientific breakthroughs, it's usually observing something, observing a phenomenon. And then you have to kind of tilt your head and apply some curiosity to like, what's going on? And so in some ways, Lantova is kind of reverse engineered from that. So when we're talking about like, as I've talked with a lot of young adults around, it's like, man, I want to have meaningful relationships. I want to have meaningful work. I want to have a deep relationship with the Lord. That usually navigating those questions well requires looking at all these different disciplines, if that makes any sense. And so it reminded me a lot, like this whole process, it reminded me of stuff we talked about in Unbound and ideas that I remember hearing at Capstone and Gap, and curious how that connects with your Ascend students and the program now.
Well, I think there's some exciting things here. I'm thrilled to do it, Sarah, and it's fun to see this going in ways that, first of all, I wouldn't have ever guessed. And then, and you have to hear this clearly, it's super fun to see it going in ways that I'm like, I couldn't do any of that. I have no capability anywhere. So it's so fun to see the team that you have and the kind of abilities they have. So in Unbound, we talk a lot about things that are true no matter what. And the reason we talk about that is because I think in education and in advice and in content and in website stuff, when you're trying to help people live their lives better, right, there is a constant and relenting temptation to create truth, right? That to say that what I just experienced that worked, that's now true. And it's true with a capital T that's true for everybody. And I think that lots of people make a lot of money like that, right? Like, I organize my workspace this way. This is the true way to do it. I'm going to tell you the truth about how to organize your workspace, you know, and however else you want to kind of put those things in. And so one of the things that we say to sort of guard against that is we say, you don't get to invent truth. You know, that God owns that, right? So things are true and true no matter what. So what we look for is we try to find the things that are true no matter what. And then we try to find the perspective on that that helps us to see that truth. Now, that can be original, right? I might have a unique way of being able to see truth that is the same truth, but I can say, oh, have you ever thought about from here? And you look at it and go, oh, now I can see this thing that's true no matter what. And I think, you know, from a Lantova perspective, if you just think about, okay, what's the most important thing we talk about? Well, theology, because that's about why we're here. It's all the big questions, you know, why are you here? What is your purpose in life? What happens to you when you die? All those kinds of things, right? But theology, just as soon as you say it, people can hear the dust. I mean, can smell the dust and hear the paper cracking, you know, and it's like, and they're starting to get sleepy. And you say, and creativity. And you're like, and for me, it's like, are you talking about creativity? Mean you're going to say something weird? Like, I mean, I got, don't give me some interpretive dance and tell me it's explaining scripture. I mean, I don't want to hear that. And you say, no, creativity in the sense that the scriptures themselves are presented in a story, that we're emotional people. That, you know, there's a story that often helps us to make sense of this truth and understand a deeper level. Okay, well, that creativity is interesting. And then psychology, I always talk about psychology because, you know, I'm talking about experiments and weird college classes. And you're just like, no, psychology and the fact of the way your brain works. Oh, so what we're really talking about is thinking about the reality of the way our brains are constructed and worked with the creativity that actually hits the brains the way it works so that I can understand theology, which is understanding the truths that are most important in life and how to apply it. Oh, now we're talking about things that are true, and I now have a perspective on those things that are true that are brand new. And that's, to me at least, Sarah, is what Lantova seems so incredibly exciting to just think about from that perspective.
Feeling stuck with traditional higher education? You're not alone. Many students want something that actually prepares them for life. That's where Ascend by Unbound comes in. Ascend blends flexible learning with real-world projects, mentorship, and a Christian community to help young adults thrive. From certificates to degrees, you'll gain the skills, experience, and network you need for your future. Ready for a different path? Visit beunbound.us/ascend today.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, something that excites me is also, I feel like as we're sifting through difficult questions, and there's a lot of difficult questions, I mean, you could just pick, I mean, it's a list right now. If you hop on the internet and you're like, that's complicated, don't know what to think about that, don't know what to do
it's
with
like,
that.
Who am I? What's my identity?
Yeah.
How do I relate to other people? Yeah, I mean, it's all that foundational stuff that seems to have this sort of modern twist that makes it more complicated. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've noticed too, I think something that's very tempting is when there's a lot of chaos to try to come to a fast answer. And I've noticed this, especially with Gen Z. It's my crew. I get to represent the oldest of Gen Z. Woo! But younger, so proud. But younger, so I think there's...
Look at, yeah. Cover three, right? Because we got X, Gen Z, millennial. David, you're a millennial, right? Or are you Gen Z?
I'm like right on the borderline. It depends what metric you're using.
It's okay, true. Okay. They can't agree on 97 or 98.
I don't know why I would think that you guys are much different in age. So, okay, so I'm definitely at the end of Gen X. So I miss all the cool ones. So,
but it's so interesting because like with, I think some of it's social media, some of it's bigger, I think, than just that. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure to arrive at fast answers. And I think there is a degree, like Jonathan, I know you guys talk quickly and effectively mastering complicated information. And that's absolutely true. And I think too, something I'm excited about what we get to do with our Lantova content from that interdisciplinary perspective is take creativity, for example. That's a fun one we've tossed around because some people were like, okay, so we're studying the brain, then we're talking about God, and then we're doing finger painting. And you're like, no, that's not. You are
that's
welcome
really close
to
my interpretive dance stuff
yeah,
there, Sarah.
Exactly,
starting to get nervous about those things, yeah.
But like what I talked about with my students last year, it was so interesting to unpack is, and that was, to be clear, art track. That was more specifically classically the arts, you know, and what we had in our group. But bigger than that, I mean, creativity also involves tech, IT, STEM field. You know, you think about combining things for something new. I also think recreativity, tend to say it like that, but the ability to fix, the ability to mend, all of that. Like if you're trying to fix healthcare, you need some creativity on board in a good way, right? And so it's not as straight, because I think sometimes too, it becomes tricky when, yeah, some people are like, well, that applies to me or that doesn't apply to me. It's like, nah, this whole thing of like, how do you engage with life and how do you, it's kind of the purpose question too is embedded in there. And I just really love, there is a degree, we have a slight order of operation to our disciplines. We do start with theology, because I think if you get who God is wrong, you get a cascade of other issues afterward. So that tends to be like, oh my gosh, what is the hymn that's like, tune my heart, prone to wander. There's something.
Prone to wander,
right?
Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love.
Yes.
Take my
yes.
heart and take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Okay, we got the entire verse except for the title, but anyhow.
Yeah, exactly.
That hymn, so, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's all these ideas of like tuning and just like an instrument that we do see good theology as our foundation. And I actually do want to comment a little longer about this because this is an interesting phenomenon right now that sometimes what people get nervous about when you combine disciplines, particularly you combine God with anything else, is like, okay, are you just going to reshape theology to fit with the latest psychological papers that come
out? Well, it's what we talked about earlier, right? Like, yeah, there's always mm-hmm. this unyielding unrelenting temptation to not say that you're changing perspective on truth, but to redesign truth, right? So you have that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Every time I hear somebody take that theology and connect to somebody else, something else, I'm like, oh, that sounds a lot like you're trying to get me to come to a point of view and you're using theology as a stick, you know, to go with mm-hmm. your set of ideas. So yeah, mm-hmm. to acknowledge that. So, but you're saying the same thing, Sarah. So why is this different?
Right. And because we've done a lot of thinking about this, because like something I noticed, part of what inspired Lantova back when I was in grad school is I realized that a lot of the core foundational counseling theories, if you look up profession, you know, you could pick up Freud, you could pick up Erickson, you could pick up a lot of these theories. They all have different definitions of what it means to be human, which is pretty messy. Like, I mean, and it's really striking when you think about, say, like auto mechanics. I think I would want an auto mechanic to have a more agreement on what a car is supposed to be before they try to go fix it. You know, if somebody's trying to make it to like a Ferris wheel, you'd be like, okay, but kind of want the engine to stop rumbling at the stoplight, you know? And so how, so what I saw there was like, you had a lot of different, like the psychology space is a clash of a bunch of different worldviews. I mean, this could be its own whole separate podcast, but it's part of why you get the confusion. And I think a lot of what has happened and what I had noticed in the professional space, and also just talking with young adults, is that when you try to engage with mental health, any of those resources, that whole world, really quickly, it feels like you're just sort of hopping between. You're like, okay, Jesus over here, anxiety over here. Maybe they connect, maybe they don't. And it gets very, very confusing. And at least our modern psychology world, the main theories, you know, you can't speak for people's hearts, but if you just look at the theory that was put forward, it doesn't acknowledge God, doesn't acknowledge him as good. And so you have a really deep foundational crack there that is hard to name. And I would also say on the other side, that I think this is a much bigger conversation about like how the church relates to science and how we view, like, how involved can God be in our study of the earth? Which sounds kind of like a crazy statement when you actually say it like that, but that's kind of what can hum beneath the surface. Like I recently just wrote about this, put it up on our blog about like, is it okay to have Yahweh be involved in psychology? Basically, can you bring him back in, or what happens? Because you get both extremes. If you get a fear, and it's almost like a fear from, say, a secular space of, if we bring God into this discipline, into this conversation, he's going to pollute our scientific inquiry. And I use that word really intentionally, just because that's kind of the unspoken feeling, like it's going to mess it up, it's going to compromise it, you're going to bring in some wishy-washy faith things, and like, we're about the facts. And then if you take the, I think, kind of like the religious extreme, there is the fear that like you're going to change how everybody thinks about God with your psychological, that's a sound, you know, just mumbo jumbo. Like you're going to bring this in here and then compromise his holiness. And so,
fair, you know, the first would be the God of the gaps, right? You know, that's always the criticism of like, you know, you just insert God everywhere you don't know something. And so it's just a placeholder until you actually learn something. Well, that's not really inserting God. That's just using God as a question mark. And and then certainly I've been involved in faith situations, and I know you have as well, Sarah, that, you know, the psychological babble has absolutely, you know, is a, you know, the modern strain of American liberal Christianity is basically that God is an organizing symbol that psychologically provides a crutch for the followers, and it's good. And so they would actually argue that being a pastor is a wonderful, fantastic thing to do, because you lead your congregation and ordering their thinking around an all-encompassing symbol, and it's all a psychology experiment. And, you know, most of your mainline denominations and a fairly stunning amount of your congregations are run by people who think that. And so that those are real criticisms. And so, but yet I think you're arguing here that that's true. That can be one extreme, but also to leave it out does two things. You know, if you get defensiveness here, then you don't have science in its proper perspective. Yep. There's that perspective word again. And if you throw out psychology, well, here's this really interesting set of information that we've learned about how God designed our brains and made them to work that we're now just ruling out because people abuse it in the wrong ways. So, you know, I think you've got an interesting idea here about like, how do we bring those things back in?
Yeah, well, and I mean, really, that's just the origin of the most of our scientific knowledge to begin with. And a lot of the advances of science in general is that it was Christians who were just like, hey, God has given us the capacity to understand the world. Let's use these tools, these gifts, these ideas that he's given us to understand the world that he created more so that we can understand him better, because he has imparted part of his nature, his creation, into the world. And so we can use that, we can use this gift of science to understand God and who he is, and we can, like, these things can be connected in a way that glorifies God and helps us to understand each other better. And it's just been interesting to see how it has gone from that to exactly the attitude that you're talking about, Sarah, where it is just very much like the two what used to be very closely interlinked, like they were like working side by side together. And now the perception, at least, is that it's almost a, to use a political term, the church and state relationship is just like, Yeah, they kind of both exist in the same sphere, but like they don't mix. Like, this is keep them separate. Like, they shouldn't play together.
Right, right. And I think the nervousness, it's kind of founded on both sides, because it's like you have a very, we'll dive into this on our platform in a separate space, because it's really cool to actually unpack that relationship between the church and science. Because most people think of it as just being purely at odds. And it's like, no, that's not the story. Right?
No, Western civilization and science itself wouldn't exist without Christian foundation. You know, most of your Western Christian, scientific thought came out of the Christian idea that we could think God's thoughts after him. So,
Exactly. And so in some ways, if I had to summarize what Lantova is, it's interdisciplinary content. So blogs, we're recording our first season of podcasts here soon. Super pumped. Workshops, books, we've got some cohort ideas in the making, and it's just a place to wrestle through all this, all these different questions. You know, I mean, I think like you've got classic big picture, like what's my purpose, why am I here stuff, but even if you just hop on the internet, like what I have noticed working with a lot of young adults is there's a deep desire to know how to have healthier relationships of all kind, but then when you encounter relationship advice, any kind, just like on the internet, you'll get quite the swath of feedback, or it can be really hard to know. Okay, so let's take a big one, boundaries. It's like, oh my gosh, talk about a can of worms, right? Like, it's such an interesting thing, because for like, if you leave God out of the conversation, you can really quickly create a life where you have just made your selfishness boundaries, quote unquote, and there's no forgiveness, there's no suffering for anybody, there's nothing, and yet, yeah, it's so like those types of complicated questions. Another big one is narcissism. What do you do with that? You know, culturally it's a little bit like amputate it. You're like, okay, that's extreme, right? And so like creating space to talk through and really help bring deep grounded theology to some of these topics that are kind of floating around in the psychology space. One other thing I wanted to note about our approach to psychology is it's actually the original Greek term is the study of the soul. Psyche is soul, which is a lot of what we're kind of claiming back, right? Because it's very fun to read like latest neuroscience books, because that say like, you know, that come at everything from a naturalistic perspective, they really don't know what to do with that issue of having a spirit element, spiritual element to us. Like it's like you can hear the fumbling in the words. It's like, I don't really have an answer for what to do with this and everything. So, which is another reason I'm so excited that we get to talk about this from all those perspectives.
So, Sarah, you just talked about a blog post article that you just wrote recently. So as we're kind of wrapping things up here a little bit, as we think about, okay, so Lantova is a content platform. You're going to have all kinds of, you already have a lot of articles there. If any of you are running events, they have phenomenal speakers. We can certainly endorse them. In fact, might be an endorsement on that page somewhere from us. And so podcasts and those kinds of things. And these are people talking about the really big, important questions, theology, through the lens of psychology, and that doesn't mean that's the only way they're looking at it, but employing some of these psychology tools that they're not willing to let go to the enemy, and with creativity, and that creativity, I can just argue, having known all the people involved in this, comes with a high level of excellence. So I think creativity in this way is almost a stand-in for an excellence in production and excellence in design and those kinds of things. If you're going to send somebody to give them one reason to go to the website, Sarah, now, you know, first of all, let's assume they're interested in all those things. They're interested in Lantova, period. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to send them to one piece of the website and say, go here because this is cool and worth checking out, where would you send them?
Mm-hmm. I would send them to our content tab, actually, because under there you can get hooked up. Right now, the best way to get involved, because we launched our little baby business a couple weeks ago, so pumped. But the newsletter is the best way to keep in touch as we are rolling out new blog posts, new podcasts. A special note, too, for the newsletter, we designed it because as a content platform, there's a degree to which you have to be on social media in terms of getting the word out and spreading the word. But we actually designed the newsletter so you could stay in touch and on top of our content. if you were trying to stay off of social media. Because we've also noticed that. So if you're trying to do a social media fast, take a break. Just be like, all right, I can't deal with the Instagram world. I need a breather. The newsletter's for you. So, yes.
So maybe that's the answer. Definitely go to the content tab, but maybe go there and sign up for the newsletter. Give them a couple weeks and see what you think. I suspect that you'll be both entertained, interested, intrigued, and educated in the process of going there. And along the way, you're likely to meet some pretty cool people as well. So as we're thinking about this, you know, there's a fun story here of an idea that the timing wasn't quite right, that percolated a little bit, that required some additional skill, and now is launched in a way that I think can be extremely impactful for the people that are reading this content and looking at it, and also provides a place for people to come and ask those questions. I think one of the things that I know from Sarah and her crew through the years is that, and this is a fast vanishing, I think, myth, but for a long time, there was this idea that you couldn't ask the church or you couldn't ask church people certain questions, right? Those were off limits. And I had somebody come this past week to me and say, I have an awkward question. And then we talked about it. They're like, oh, that wasn't awkward at all. And I was like, yeah, because at this point, I can't even imagine an awkward question, right? I mean, like, we've been asked all kinds of questions. And I think you'll see the Lantova teams the same way, right? Like, this is not untouchable stuff. This is things that if the truth that we proclaim is true with a capital T, then there's no awkward conversations. There's no part of this that's undiscussable. There's nothing that doesn't bear examination. And I think Lantova has taken some of those things, combined them in some pretty interesting ways. And so go to lantova.com, check out our show notes if you want the link, or just look them up on all your favorite search engines. And and like I said, if nothing else, you get to see a pretty well-designed website. So check that out.
Hey.
Thanks, Sarah. It was awesome to have you back again. And my guess is we'll give you a couple months or so to get a lot of content produced on Lantova, and then we'll probably latch on to one of those and have you come back and discuss that.
That sounds good. I'll be back.
All right. We'll be prepared for the technological disruption that will come with it. So
so we think.
Yes.
That's right. David will be prepared. I'm just going to watch, eat my popcorn. So. Great to have
sounds
you, Sarah.
Sounds good.
Thanks again
Thank
for
you
being
guys.
Here.
Bye.
Well, it's always fun to have Sarah, even if she does come with a storm of technical difficulties that seem to be particularly plaguing us whenever Sarah's on the mic. This was actually a little easier than normal, David, despite our little bit of bumps getting started. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about Lantova. This is a kind of site that, and I'll be honest, I had talked to Sarah several times, like, exactly what are you doing? If you go to the site, Sarah's a fantastic designer, and you'll learn it really quickly. And I think also there's an element of they're just sort of scratching the surface of what they can do. And so they're learning and getting more deep into it every time. But to me, it's a fascinating story, David, in terms of, you know, what Lantova is now. It couldn't be in 2019 when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be with the people that it had in 2019. And so that's both a fun and a fascinating experience. And so you often hear these stories from Sarah's perspective, right? From the person who I started and then it failed and then I came back and made it work. But it's an interesting story for me because I'm the one that left, right? You know, so I was there when it started and then it's worked. And, you know, it's easy for me to look at this and say, well, I have nothing to contribute or nothing meaningful to contribute to Lantova that's there now. Like, in other words, that what they're doing now is different from my skills, different from my abilities, and better for all of that. And so it's to me, it's a fascinating thing to watch and say, this is a cool thing. It's a great thing. It's a thing that I'm so delighted to see happen. And it's a thing that also I look at it and go, and that wasn't my thing. And so that might be interesting for listeners to hear as well in terms of just an interesting perspective and a little piece of truth to pay attention to and learn from.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of a TED talk that I think came out like 10 years ago or something, that was talking about the importance of timing specifically in business. And there was some study that they did that estimated that the highest, most important factor for any new starting business when it comes to their success or failure was actually timing, and whether or not that business and like the product and the specific offering they have came at the right time in the right marketplace. And I think anybody who's been in business for a long time would probably be nodding their head quite a bit at that fact, because it is true that there's a lot to that. And I think there's for those of us who are believers in Christ, I think there is a lot of hope that we can also find in that it's not just, oh, well, timing is just the luck of the draw, and maybe if the timing works out for me, then I'll get what I want. We know the, for a fact that God is in control of all of the timing of all of our efforts, and maybe we are not going to be having the right timing, quote unquote, for whatever outcome we're looking for in that particular moment, but he is always going to work out the timing perfectly for accomplishing his plan, and that's something that we can take confidence in. So in the case of Lantova and whatever project you, the listener, might be working on, maybe it might not work out the way that you expected it to initially, but God may be working on it and have a plan to take some of those same principles and do something even better with them down the line.
Well, it's such an abundance mindset to have. And I think to me, it takes all the pressure off, right? I mean, you do the best with what's in front of you. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And if it doesn't, you can drive yourself crazy, you know, thinking that like, oh, I got out too soon or too early or whatever. And instead, you know, there's another way, a Christian way. It just says, God had it in, had me there for exactly what I needed to be. And we could do a whole nother episode on, you know, the lessons I learned from our brief little foray into Lantova translated immediately into Unbound. And so if my time wasn't wasted there at all, but it was just used in a different way. And also that means that, you know, I'm not sitting there going, oh man, I wish I was part of that. Instead, I look at that and go, oh man, how cool to see that thing going and know that I really have nothing to do with it, but I get to watch and see something really fun happen. And so, yeah, just that ability to release and let go. Well, talking about timing, it might be time for you to check out what we do here at Unbound, to go to beunbound.us and hear about the programs that we offer. And, you know, Lantova was a really interesting conversation here. It was started by a bunch of Unbound people, and then it went to sleep or took a nap, as Sarah said, for a while. And then it was resurrected by a bunch of Unbound people who are extremely talented and who were able to connect and meet and be able to do this project called Lantova because they met through Unbound. And I might maybe go even a little bit further and say because they were trained in Unbound. These people are incredibly talented before they came to Unbound, but there was a honing, there was a shaping, there was a crafting of those skills that allowed them to be in the position to do what they're doing now. So if that's interesting to you, go to beunbound.us to check out what we do, the programs we offer, particularly our post-high school program called Ascend, which is where all the current Lantova staff all experienced and came through. And if you want to hear what that looks like and you want to get a little sense of that, stick around as we hear from a current Ascend student telling you what it's like to be an Ascend student at Unbound. Until next time, be Unbound.
Hi, my name is Chloe Siever. I just finished my Ascend Foundations year and I'm starting my challenge year. I remember when I first started Ascend, I had just graduated high school and I was very confused on what my next steps were going to look like and how I was going to take the things that I was passionate about and turn them into a career one day. So going into Ascend, I did not know anybody. I had no friends, no one I knew had done it. And so it was a very new thing for me. Kind of an intimidating thing, honestly, doing something with people that you do not know, with a program you're not super familiar with. But I did it. And I can say now, after being in it for one full year, it has been the most amazing thing ever. The relationships that I've made, the friendships that have formed, are some of the strongest that I think I've had in my entire life. Everyone is just so easy to talk to and genuine. And that was something that was really new to me. I've never had a lot of friends or even made friends very quickly. And so that was something that was just so inspiring to me and really inspired me to want to be that kind of person for people in my local community. And I've already seen how those relationships that I have built through Ascend have impacted the relationships I have in my local community and how I treat them. And so that's been a super cool personal thing that I've seen growth in and just gain a lot of wisdom from. And again, best friendships I've had. Professionally, I've had so many cool opportunities coming up with over this last summer. I was in the digital marketing track this year with Ascend, so I got to learn a lot of skills through that, which ultimately led to the opportunity for me to do an internship with a digital marketing business that I'm still doing and will carry into the fall. And so that's just a really cool professional win and really cool opportunities how I've seen how the things that I learned to send can be translated in both professional and personal settings. And just the impact and practical things that can help with are just so amazing. And so Yeah, definitely super cool, very practical, very solid Christian program. And I would say if you're considering doing it, you're not really sure what the outcome will be, I'm here to tell you, you will not regret it. It's just 1 year and you will walk away with some of the best friendships and memories and experiences and opportunities, some of the best ones probably out of your life.